1 Timothy 3, I'm going to read one verse here. This will kind of be a launching point for us. And we're going to talk about what a true church is, what a real church is. So this is important to know. And you say, Brother Tom, why would this be important for me? I like this church. I want to keep coming to this church. Well, that's great. But what happens if in the future, guys, God moves your family somewhere else? And you need to decide which new church you're going to go to. What criteria are you going to have to base your decision? How are you going to determine if it's a good church, bad church? If they're teaching what's right, if they're teaching what's wrong? We've got to know these things. So I think this will be helpful to us. So my question is this. Are all churches the same? 1 Timothy 3:15. The Bible says, Paul's writing to Timothy. He says, but if I tarry long. So he's trying to get there, but he says, if it takes longer than I want. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Guys, when it says the church is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, think of it this way. This is how I like to look at this. It says the pillar. Pillars are these huge columns that are holding up a building. Just for sake, we'll give it some kind of roof-looking thing. Let's say, I know, my scale is off, but don't listen. Now you're too big. Listen, when we're talking about the church as the pillar and ground of the truth, it's built on the truth. Guys, everything that we believe, we find its foundation on the truth of the Word of God. And it says not only the pillar of the truth, but the ground of the truth. I believe this is the church holding it up. We should proclaim the truth to the world. Okay, so not only are we built, everything we believe, everything we stand on should be the truth from God's word, but also everything we proclaim to the world should be the truth. Okay, and we are that pillar, that support to where we can connect what God says and get it out to the world, broadcast it to the world. So guys, what makes a true church a real church? I got five like questions we should ask. Okay, here's the first one. What is their source of authority? What is their source of authority? As I said, in the future, your family moves somewhere, you're trying to decide, all right, is this a good church? Is this somewhere that I should go or not? What is their source of authority? Guys, what I mean by that is this. Everybody listening so far? What I mean by that is, what do they look to for truth? What do they look to for guidance, for spiritual, for direction, for absolute truth? You guys know this. What should they be looking to for the absolute truth? The Bible, right? The Word of God. That should be their source of authority. Can I tell you, some religious places you walk into, that's not their source of authority. That needs to be a huge red flag from the jump. All right, this is not the place for me. This is not the place that's going to get me closer to God. Some places you would walk into, you need to decide, is it the Bible that's the authority or some other source? Guys, there's many so-called, even some so-called Christian churches or within Christendom that rely on tradition and the Bible. Or the Pope and the Bible, or an organization, or a denomination, or a leader to share the authority with the Bible. That's a huge problem. We don't want that. We want the Bible. Listen, guys, this statement is huge. Very important to remember. The Bible is our sole authority for faith and practice. Faith is what we believe. Practice is what we do. Okay? It's our sole authority. Everything we do. Why do we knock on doors? God tells us from His Word. Why do we preach the gospel? Because God tells us from His Word. Why do we do things the way we do? We avoid certain things because God tells us in His Word. It's our sole authority. It's our final and only authority for everything that we do. So is it the Bible or is it another source? The Bible says, Thy Word is truth, John 17, 17. Psalm 119, 160 says, All Thy words are true from the beginning. So we need to hold on to what's true. It shouldn't be shared with anything else. And by the way, guys, we shouldn't share it with any one of those options that I listed out. But also, these other so-called holy books, you know what they are? They're demon-inspired books. You say, like what? The Quran. That's a demon-inspired book. The Book of Mormon, the Watchtower that they try to interpret the Bible with, so-called. Guys, those are demon-inspired books. Okay? So you don't want to follow that stuff. They need to have the Word of God in a prominent place in the worship, in everything they do regarding the church. Is it the Bible or another source? Does it have a supreme position? It shouldn't be equal with one with another so-called source of truth. It needs to be supreme. And guys, how about this one? Some churches that we go to, they're not going to pull out a Quran. They're not going to pull out a Book of Mormon. But even though they have the Bible
And they say that's what they believe, and their actual way that they interpret it, interpret means to get the meaning out of it, they're doing it in a way that doesn't honor God. You say, like what? They turn everything into symbols or myths or fables or fiction. Listen, guys, we need to interpret the Bible literally. What does that mean? Literally. You know what it means? As it actually happened. We believe when God says he created the world in 6 24-hour days, we believe that's actually how it happened. Those don't represent huge periods of time and thousands of years and gaps. No, we don't believe that. God said the evening and the morning were the first day, 24 hours. Okay? Exactly, literally as God said. We believe when the Bible tells us that God flooded the entire world, we believe that. Some people say, no, it was just the land of Israel. No, God flooded the entire world. If that were the case, why wouldn't Noah and his family just get out of Israel? All right? Or get out of that part of the world. Then they would have been fine. God flooded the entire world. And then he sent the rainbow in the sky to say, I'm never going to do that ever again. We take that literally. We don't take that to mean something else. Can you imagine if somebody did that with your words? If Tim said, hey, can you do this for me? I say, sure, Tim. They say, what does Tim want you to do? Well, actually, he just wants me... It represents something else in my life that I've been thinking. No, it doesn't. He just wants me to get something for him. It's very simple, right? But that's what people do with the Bible many times. They turn it into a playground of fiction. Guys, that's not honoring God's word like it should be. We believe that Jonah actually was in the whale's belly. Okay? We believe he was actually in there for that given time. And then it vomited him out. That's what we believe about when the Bible tells us these things. We don't try to turn it into something that it's not. And then, guys, it needs to be specific. We believe in the King James Version of the Word of God. Usually on the spine right there, when you first open the Bible, it'll tell you what version it is. You say, why is that important? Because, guys, many of the versions nowadays, they have been corrupted. I believe there's some of the Word of God in them, some, but not 100%. I believe the King James Version of the Word of God in English is God's Word for us. Okay? Why? Because it's word for word. They took, the Bible was originally written Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. Those three languages. Okay? They should take the English equivalent of that word and translate it. Bam. What a lot of these so-called versions do is they say, well, we think this means this. And they use whatever wording they want. I have a problem with that. I want you to tell me exactly what God said. Again, my example, if Tim tells me, hey, can you tell this to Wes? And I change it all around. Well, what I think he meant, Wes, and I change it all around. He would be mad at me. He'd say, hey, why don't you just tell him exactly what I said? In a much greater way, guys, if God told us something, why should we change it around and say, he basically means this? Just tell us exactly what he said. Tell us exactly what he said, word for word precision. The Bible says three different times, Deuteronomy 4:2, Proverbs 35:6, and Revelation 22:17-18. It says, don't add to the word of God, don't take away from it. These other versions have been diluted, they've been lessened, they've been corrupted. Guys, there's verses in these other versions, I call them perversions, but there's other verses that they've taken out. There's words they've taken out. There's things that they've changed. That's a big problem because it goes along with their agenda, not the accuracy of God's word. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. Okay, Psalm 19:7. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It says they were borne along by the Holy Spirit, carried along, and exactly what God wanted them to write down, they did. Guys, we need to esteem all of God's precepts concerning all things to be right and to hate every false way. He's esteemed his word above his name. And listen, one last reference in this section. Isaiah 8:20, it says, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, the word of God, it is because there is no light in them, no truth in them. That's the determiner. When we go into church, we hear them. They're not accurately preaching the Bible. Okay, this is not the place for me. All right. What is their source of authority? Number two, and this might be all I get. The person of Christ. What is their view on the person of Christ? What are some important things, guys, that a church should preach and teach about Jesus Christ? The Bible needs to be our source of authority. But as we're getting into the Bible and we pull out these doctrines, which are clear themes and teachings of the Bible, what are some things that we need to know, believe, and teach about Jesus Christ? I'll open it up to you guys. Ethan. He's perfect. Never, ever sinned. Guys, if Jesus ever sinned, Even once, even just a bad thought, he couldn't be our Savior. We would all be on our way to hell with no hope whatsoever. It's that big a deal. Okay? So he's lived a perfect life. What else? There's a lot more. He died for us. And why did he die for us? Guys, he did it to atone for our sins. He did it not for his own sin. Like we said, he didn't have any. He did it for our sins. Okay? He did it for your sins. Even if you were the only one, he still would have died for you. What else about the doctrine of Christ?
He was born of a virgin.
Right. That's important because he doesn't, through the virgin birth, inherit a sin nature. We all do. Born the natural way, we inherit a sin nature. Jesus didn't, because his father was God. So very, very important stuff. Anything else before we...
Came back to life 3 days later.
Exactly. The resurrection is huge, guys. Jesus didn't just die. And like we were talking about a minute ago, if some people want to play around with it and not take it literally, they say, oh, he just spiritually arose, but his body's still dead. No. The Bible says he physically, bodily arose from the dead. And over several different times people saw him, but one instance, 500 people saw him at one time, alive. The disciples weren't even sure. They go up, they touch him, say, are you real? He says, I'm not a ghost, guys. I'm real. Okay, I'm the same guy that you knew before. And he was, in essence, in every way, Jesus Christ, the person of Christ. This is 2 John verse number 9. The Bible says, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So if I walk into a church and they start saying, well, yeah, we believe the Bible, but we, you know, the resurrection of Christ, we believe spiritually, he rose from the dead. I need to say, no, he physically, bodily rose from the dead. This verse says in 2 John 9, if they don't believe the doctrine of Christ, which is what the Bible teaches about Christ, says they don't have the Father or the Son. They don't have God in their life if they don't believe what the Bible says about Jesus. I'll run through these fast, and like I said, this is all I can get through today. The deity of Christ. Jesus is God. That needs to be clearly put out there in church, guys. We need to hear that stuff constantly, okay? The deity of Christ. Jesus is God. He lived a perfect life. He had an atoning death. He died not because he was persecuted. He died not because of those mean Roman soldiers or those wicked high priests. He died in our place. He died because he didn't want you to go to hell. He took the equivalent of hell on the cross so that you didn't have to. That's why he died. Okay? He laid down his life for us. He had power to lay it down. He had power to take it again. The bodily resurrection, like we've already hit on. And his imminent return. Guys, Jesus could come back any day. He could come back today. Are you ready? Are you saved? Are you living like a saved person and doing what God wants you to do? And he is his exclusivity. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Okay? John 14:6, I am the way, truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You say, the world doesn't like that. I know. But we've got to stand on what the Word of God says. Okay? And we don't want to get wobbly on that. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You can cry out in sincerity for Allah to save you. He can't save you, though. He doesn't exist. He does not exist. He cannot hear your prayers. All right? You can cry out with urgency and earnestly saying, Buddha, save me. Can't do it. Mary can't save you. The Pope, that holy man, yeah, whatever. Please save me. He can't do it. He can't save himself. Only Jesus Christ can save you. And by the way, Mary called God her Savior. What does that tell you? That Mary was a sinner who needed a Savior. You know who her Savior was? Her Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. But guys, are all churches the same? No. Church isn't church, okay? Some churches are and some churches are not. What is a true church? Their source of authority needs to be only what? The Word of God. And we believe the King James Version of the Word of God if it's an English church, all right? Mm-hmm. Number two, the person of Christ. How do they view him? Again, my last illustration. Wes, we walk into a church, sit down, and they say, oh, it's great to have you here. And everybody's so nice, and they have cool graphics, and the building's beautiful, and there's some, looks like some people we can be friendly with. Guys, you don't base a church off of the music style. You don't base a church off of how big and beautiful the building is. You don't base a church off of the pretty girls in the church. You need to base off of what they teach and what they believe. If not, it is being used of the devil, not God. But if we were to walk into a church sitting there, say, Wes, this seems like a nice place. But then they get up and they talk about, guys, we're so thankful for God. We're so thankful for him. And we know that Jesus is less than him. We know that Jesus is Not everything the Father is, we need to say. No, 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 no. He is everything the Father is. We know that he didn't live a perfect life. Excuse me? We could give you reference after reference. I could think of four off the top of my head where I talk about Jesus never sinned. Never. Listen, guys, these are things that we need to hold on to tightly. So what is their source of authority? Number two, the person of Christ. What do they believe about him?